Babcock unveiled. We need some expertise on the matter for that. We jumped down the Loop City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Loop City Express Oil Change featuring Mobile One. Warranty approved. A change for the better. Say good morning to the CoachingSite.com's Managing Director, Aaron Wilbur. Morning, Wilb. Sorry, buddy.
Good, Ryan. How you doing? Was that your best Babcock impression?
You know, Mike Babcock didn't build Rome in a day, eh? So it's going to take some time here, a little bit of pain, but this is Canada's team, eh?
It's as good as I can do. You got to remember to plug the F-150, too.
That's right, yes. What have you made of it so far? It's still ongoing. We've heard a lot of questions now starting to get directed at Brendan Shanahan regarding what's next. It's kind of a bit backwards that you, well, certainly backwards traditionally, to get a coach before a GM. But there never really has been a free agent coach like Mike Babcock. This is probably changing the way we view of coaches and maybe even the way coaches view themselves in the hockey world.
No, it is. I mean, it's just such a polarizing moment, I think, in hockey, and certainly feels like the whole hockey community has kind of come to a standstill with this announcement. But I think if you were to poll the 29 other GMs or presidents in the NHL, if they were in the same situation that Brendan Shanahan was in, and there was an opportunity to hire Mike Babcock before you get a GM in place, I think unanimously everybody would go ahead and get Mike Babcock.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it's not normal, but nothing about this whole situation has been normal. We saw him heading into the final year of his contract with Detroit, and he was very comfortable being a lame duck coach where a lot of others were not. He certainly has no issue with being in a major media center like no other in sport, perhaps. Certainly in the NHL or in the hockey world, there's no other like it. Although he hasn't really done it yet. He's just got there. He's keen about it now, as many before him were. And on top of that, I don't know that we've seen a guy who's got the cojones that Babcock does to leave a situation as good as Detroit and to hit the market and start talking term and money with a bunch of different teams. There's a lot of people from Buffalo that are PO'd about this. They thought this deal was done.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm sure as the process moves along here, we're going to hear more input from, you know, how things went down in Buffalo. But I'll tell you what, about a year ago, I was having lunch with a pal of mine who coached with Mike previously. And this was right when sort of the Babcock watch was getting on the radar. And I just asked him casually, I said, you know, what do you think Mike's going to do? And he said, Toronto. He's like, mark my word, Mike Babcock is going to Toronto. And I said, really, what makes you think that? And he said, this guy is just a competitor. And the lure of going into that market and potentially being the guy that brings a Stanley Cup back there is just going to be too great for him to pass up. It's not going to come down to money, although money was clearly a factor. But he just said there's no way he's going to be able to walk away from that opportunity.
It is the biggest challenge out there. Buffalo is young. They have parts that will get better. Certainly Detroit always makes the playoffs, always stocks the cupboard nicely. I don't know that anyone else was going to be in the conversation in the late stages. St. Louis and San Jose probably didn't have the dough, and that's about it for coaching vacancies. So this is the biggest challenge, and he talked about fear and walking towards it where most humans would do the opposite.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think the key word here is going to be patience. I mean, it's, you know, right now it's, you know, we're in May and it's easy to get in front of a microphone at a press conference and say the right things. And then there's certainly a lot of conviction there. But, you know, this is going to be a slow process. And, you know, he referenced, you know, the last time he kind of had a winning or a losing season was in Spokane, where they went from, I think, 19 wins to winning the league championship the following year. But this isn't going to be a one-year turnaround. This is going to be a number of years. And it's, you know, when things get tough, it's going to be really interesting to sort of follow the dynamics in that management group when, you know, potentially he starts demanding, like, hey, we got to get some guys in here that can win and win now.
It's going to be very interesting to follow because they don't have the GM, so you don't really know. I mean, I'm sure Shanahan and Dubas and Hunter have plans, but do you want him to work with Kessel and Phaneuf and try to change who they are and who they have been their whole careers? Or are those guys gonzo and let's burn this thing to the ground? We've got William Nylander. We've got a fourth overall pick where we're going to get a really good player. We've got a young defenseman in Morgan Rielly. How do you see this playing out?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think you know, the one guy is Kessel. And, you know, I mean, wouldn't you have wanted to be a fly on the wall when Phil Kessel heard the news that Mike Babcock was coming to Toronto. And, you know, my thought would be that Mike Babcock is going to recognize the value that, you know, a guy that can score 40 to 50 goals has on your roster. And to at least, you know, go through the process of seeing if he can potentially turn Phil Kessel, you know, into a 200-foot player or at least into a more responsible player. You know, I'd have to think that he's going to give it that process. As far as Dion Phaneuf, I think this could be a huge step in the right direction for his career, just because all of a sudden he's not the face of the franchise anymore. Mike Babcock is the face of the franchise in Toronto, and that's not going to change for a long time. And I think now he's going to be in a position where, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he's still wearing the C next year. I can't see what the value would be in taking it off him. But at the very least, you know, he's not going to have to stand up there after each game or each loss and take the bullets. You know, Mike Babcock's going to be the face of the franchise and the guy that has to get in front of the Toronto media and handle them.
Never even thought about that angle, but it's a great point. No matter which prior coach you were talking about in Toronto, Dion was the guy that would go to for Babcock's bigger than Dion. He is. And his salary the first couple of years of this deal apparently might be even be bigger than Dion's seven M's a year. He is now the guy that everyone will come to for answers. And that shelters the current captain of the Leafs, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, the key word here is leadership. And I mean, you know, this is by no means a shot at anybody that's come before Mike Babcock or in any of the other management positions. But the one thing that I think comes through today in this press conference is there is a leader of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't know if you could say that in the last few years. And I think there was always that sense of, you know, players didn't quite know where things stood and what their role was. Well, that's going to change. Everybody's going to know exactly where they stand. There's no question who the leader is, who the captain of the ship is. And I really think that's going to take a lot of pressure off the players coming in, because they know that, you know, there's going to be a clear direction and they just have to show up to the rink every day and play hard. They don't have to go to the rink and have to answer a bunch of questions and try and explain what that direction is.
What's next for the coaching crop here? Clearly, I think everyone's salary just jumped at least 50% next time their contracts come up. I mean, the market is completely different now, but Buffalo still needs a coach. San Jose still needs a coach. And if St. Louis was talking about getting Babcock in there, they now have to look back at Ken Hitchcock, who still is under contract there, at least for the time being. What do you make of what remains to be solved amongst the coaching carousel?
Well, I think the first thing is, I mean, I don't think Mike Babcock's going to have to pay for a beer on the road for a long time. you know, I think, you know, the coaching community collectively, you know, has to be rejoicing here. This is an unprecedented move, and it is. It's going to, you know, benefit everybody that's in that profession. As far as the next steps, it's going to be interesting. I mean, as far in terms of St. Louis, is there a better coach out there than Ken Hitchcock? You know, I don't know. Although, you know, you'd maybe consider that perhaps his stay there, and he's always traditionally been kind of a guy that can come in on the short term and turn a team around. And maybe his message has grown thin there. In terms of Buffalo, I mean, I've said this before. I mean, I'm shocked at how little attention Dan Balsam is getting. I just think that here's a guy that has a really calm demeanor, a guy that has a history of working with young players and developing great young players, and he's won. And I would think that, you know, whatever downfalls there may have been in Pittsburgh, that he's had a year and a bit here to think about it and grow from it. So I'd have to think that, you know, he's going to be on somebody's radar. And, you know, aside from that, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the situation in San Jose, I mean, I don't know if you're an experienced guy and you have choices. I don't know if that's the situation you necessarily want to walk into. You know, they might go the route of getting a younger guy from the minors. And I think the next, you know, I think the one sort of piece that has to fall is Jeff Blashill in Grand Rapids, Detroit's farm team. Whether or not Detroit promotes him, if they don't, I think he's probably the next guy to go.
it's been rumored and expected for a while that Blasio will go up to Detroit. They've paid him handsomely at the AHL level just to sort of keep him around, knowing that something like this could happen with Babcock. The more you look at it, the more Detroit was very prepared for this situation.
No, absolutely, which isn't a surprise, considering Ken Holland is calling the shots there. You know, I agree. I think it is expected. I sort of felt that if they were going to name him, like, it would happen quickly. And right now, based on Ken Holland's comments yesterday, they're going to go through a process and talk to a few people and make a decision from there. But if it's not Jeff Blashill, then certainly, I don't doubt that he's going to be an NHL head coach somewhere next season.
If Mike Babcock's worth $6.25 a year, 50 over 8 years in Toronto, what's Joel Quenneville worth in Chicago when his deal's up?
Oh my God. I bet you'd love to be his agent. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, but when Joel Quenneville's deal's up, how do you not pay him at least the equivalent to Mike Babcock?
Well, I'd think at least five.
You absolutely have to. And then you start going down the line. Mike Babcock's a great coach. Detroit's been in the playoffs the last 10 years. Everybody points to the, success of the Canadian Olympic team. To be fair, you know, he had a pretty good roster to work with there as well. And, I mean, there's no saying that Joel Quenneville or a number of other coaches couldn't have had similar success to that team. Point being, in terms of the NHL, and you look back the last 5 years or so, you could argue there's a lot of guys that have had maybe a bit more success than Mike Babcock. And when their deals are up and it's time to get paid, they're going to benefit from this signing.
If only Bob Hartley had waited a few more months to sign that extension.
No kidding.
Aaron, thanks for your insights. Real quick, who have you got on tap for this summer's coaching conference?
We've got Mike Johnson from Pittsburgh, Willie Desjardins from our hometown Vancouver Canucks, Mike Valley, the goalie coach from the Dallas Stars, and interesting, Kyle Dubas, the assistant GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, is going to be talking about analytics.
That's a dirty word around these parts. Be careful now. Analytics didn't like the Flames this year.
Well, that might entice you to buy a ticket. You never know.
Well, Vancouver, July 24th, 25th, the Team Snap Hockey Coaches Conference. Thanks for your time, Aaron.
Thanks, Ryan.